Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time to bring in Jake Rowe from Dogs 247 and 247sports.com. Jake, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing well, fellas. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Doing great. Looking forward to G-Day on Saturday. Had another practice yesterday. I know you had a lot of tidbits from some things that were going on. What might have stood out and caught your eye more than anything else?
You know, I think probably the Terry Godwin injury, just because, man, these things are starting to mount. I mean, Mark Webb got hurt yesterday. Don't know how serious that is, but have confirmed that he was hurt too. You know, Devon Wilson, you know, the two, three injuries coming into spring. Michael Barnett, just Georgia's beat up, man. They're just so beat up this spring. And you figured, you know, the law of averages, you thought that Georgia might kind of rise back up to the mean at some point with the really good injury fortune they've had over the past couple of years. But the SEC in general has just been ravaged by injuries this spring, whether it's Alabama or Auburn or Georgia or LSU, Florida. Everybody's had theirs to deal with, and it'll be interesting to see kind of how they treat G-Day with so many guys dinged up and banged up. But yesterday was probably that was probably the number one thing I saw, and number two would probably be the offensive line. I mean, I think what you're seeing is, you know, I still think Kendall Baker for right now is Georgia's best left guard. I think they feel like, you know, I think if Georgia were to start today, that Kendall Baker would probably play left guard based on what I'm hearing. But it does seem like they're getting him ready to play that Deshaun Sims role from last year if needed. And you know, he may get beaten out by Solomon Kinley or he may get, you know, knocked out of that spot by Jamari Sawyer or Trey Hill at some point. But right now it looks like he's going to be the swing guy. He's practicing a left tackle, got a lot of first-team reps at right tackle yesterday. And, you know, heck, he could end up winning that right tackle job for all we know. I don't think he's going to beat Andrew Thomas out at left tackle. But those are probably the primary two takeaways, the injuries and the offensive line situation.
What is the injury to Godwin and what was going on with Webb?
Well, it looks like Godwin looked like a left knee of some sort. Now, he was going through drills and kind of half speed, so it's not, his isn't going to be serious. As far as Webb, don't really know. I mean, I'm told that it's probably a knee injury, but we don't know how serious. Just know it was kind of he had to be carted off of practice yesterday, and we'll learn more tomorrow, I'm pretty sure, when we get a chance to talk to Kirby. But that's a big blow. I mean, you know, for a guy that was showing some promise, running first team at cornerback, Georgia's, you know, already lost a guy that was showing some promise at the star position in cornerback earlier this spring. I'm sure that's the very last place they wanted to have to deal with an injury.
Talking with Jake Rowe, Dogs 247 and 247sports.com.
Jake, I know that I guess in early season games you'll see sometimes where a team runs sort of a vanilla-ish scheme as to not show off maybe some of the things they're saving. And I think for Georgia this season that might even be compounded by the fact that Justin Fields is kind of a wild card in how Georgia is going to utilize him as the season goes on. So for G-Day, I assume that all we're going to see is a pretty straightforward offense from even not just Fromm, but from Fields as well. We're not going to see any of the wrinkles that we may see later on in the year.
Yeah, no wrinkles, but I think straightforward might be a little bit of a stretch, simply because here's the deal. Take what we've seen at the first two G-Days with Jacob Eason and Jake Fromm and what they were asked to do for G-Day, and then combine that with the fact that, you know, DeAndre Swift's banged up, Ryan Harrion's been banged up, Zamir White's not available because of non-contact, and the ball's going to be in the air a lot more at G-Day than it probably will be in your typical football game of the fall. I think they're going to give Justin Fields and Jake Fromm a chance to really air it out. Kirby has stated in the past they want to put on a good show for fans and everybody in attendance. They want to work on the passing game. You've got a young defensive backfield. They're going to want to challenge. They're going to want to see these young offensive linemen pass protect. So, yeah, for sure, no wrinkles and none of this, you know, stuff that they're going to probably try to do with Justin Fields during the season or get him ready to do. But I definitely think you're going to see him get a chance to loosen up that arm a little bit and swing it around.
Hey, going back to the offensive line again. So, I mean, this is one of – I mean, Kirby basically is saying that they're just – are they – they're trying everybody at different spots just to see what they have and know what they can do. And, I mean, this is where we're seeing the depth of the recruiting starting to show through, where you don't have to stick one guy at one position and hope he doesn't get hurt. I mean, is that what we're seeing now with all this recruiting and this awesomeness amount of talent that Georgia has there?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I also think part of it is, I mean, listen, when you've got guys who – you know, who do have talent, and you've got guys that do have size. I mean, you know, if you've got, let's say, Cade Mays, and you've got Cade Mays coming in, and, yeah, you think he can play tackle for you, you believe he can play tackle, but, heck, you want to see what he can do at right guard, too, because what if the light comes on and he's your second-best right tackle, but he's your best right guard? You know, you want to find that out. I mean, those are things that – and you only find that out through experimentation. It's not like you can throw him in that right guard spot on game day and say, hey, we're going to give you a shot here. You've got to kind of test and mix and match and do all those things. And they're doing this not out of necessity, but because they can. I mean, obviously, there is a little bit of a need to develop depth and those things. But more than anything, it's because, hey, you know, they've got, you know, a center that they probably – this two-year starter. They've got a returning starter at left tackle. They've got a returning starter at left guard. They've got a returning starter at right guard. Two guys, actually, who've got multiple starts under their belt at right guard. So they're able to mix and match and kind of develop some depth. And I also thought that, you know, a comment Kirby Smart made recently about, like, the outside linebackers, when he was talking about how, you know, when you start talking about defensive linemen and offensive linemen, yeah, there are these fans out there that say, hey, sign as many offensive linemen as you can. You want 20 on the roster if you can get them. That's not going to happen, because those offensive linemen, they don't cover kicks, they don't cover punts, they don't block for those things. They're not special teams players. And so if you can cross-train these guys and get them to play more positions, then you may be a little bit more comfortable having 13 or 14 offensive linemen on the roster instead of 16, 17. And that'll allow you to kind of sign some other players and some other positions that may be able to help you on special teams. So I think that's where you get the cross-training coming in. And you see the same thing on the defensive line. Well, we've heard Georgia defensive linemen say this spring, hey, if I've got, you know, Trey Scott's philosophy is that, hey, if I've got eight guys who can play three different positions, I've got 24 defensive linemen, not just eight.
What running backs are we going to see Saturday?
Well, you know, you're going to get to see Elijah Holyfield. He's the one that's been healthy pretty much all spring. I think Brian Arian's back to full speed, but at the same time, I don't necessarily think, I mean, heck, last year, I don't think we saw him run the ball much at all at G-Day, even with, you know, even Harrion. So I don't think you're going to see Georgia run the ball a lot, period. But I think Brian Harrion and Elijah Holyfield are going to be full go. Prather Hudson's going to get an opportunity. And I tell you what, man, for a guy that you don't really notice a whole lot and you don't ever really get to see carry the ball or do stuff, he gets mentioned a whole lot. If Kirby Smart talks about him, the coach is talking about him out at the Rose Bowl in the national championship game, when you start talking to them and you hear players mention Elijah Holyfield, brought him up yesterday. You know, he's a guy that you know, I think he does a lot of things in practice to kind of turn heads and shake, you know, to kind of get the defensive coaches frustrated because he's such a good football player. Maybe not quite good enough to crack the starting lineup or to be one of those top two or three backs, but very talented.
Talking with Jake Rowe, Dogs 247, 247sports.com.
Jake, you know, one of the things that, not going under the radar or anything, but an area that Georgia is certainly going to have some question marks about is with punting. You know, Cam Nizalek came in last season, was absolutely brilliant. You know, he's a guy that came in from the Ivy League and punted very, very well for Georgia, was one of the better punters in the conference, maybe even in the country. Obviously that's going to fall on some different shoulders now. Do you think that this is an area that Kirby's still going to be confident in?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's just one of those things where, I think that there's a lot of coach speak kind of involved there, too. I mean, I don't think you kind of want to discuss it too in depth. But yeah, I mean, I do believe that's an area that Georgia should still remain confident in.
What do you think of the over under for the Dogs being at 10.5? What do you think of that, over or under?
Well, I mean, I think over is a solid bet because of the easy schedule. But anytime you're starting to talk about over unders and put in the double digit territory, that's some big boy football. I mean, that's some big boy expectations. And I think this Georgia team, is very fortunate to have the easy schedule that it has. I think if it had last year's schedule, this is a team that could, very easily lose 3-4 ball games. But just because I think that defensively, it's going to take a step back. I think you get that vibe out at practice. It's just not the same. Just not the same group. And that's not to say there aren't some really talented, really, really impressive first guy off the bus type players out there, because there are. But you don't see the confidence and the swagger. And listen, when you've got a guy like Lorenzo Carter, who's 6'4", 6'5", 250 pounds, and every single practice last year, he's averaging over 20 miles per hour per practice on the GPS. That's the kind of effort, that's the kind of desperation you get out of the sense of urgency you get out of it being your senior year. You can't really replace that. I mean, it's like writing a paper the night before it's due. You can't replace that sense of urgency. You can't replace that want to and desire to make it count in your last year. And Georgia doesn't have that type of veteran leadership on that defense right now. I think it's a team that's going to take about 4, 5, 6 games to really get going on the defensive side. But in terms of those expectations, I think it's very doable to win 11, 12 ball games this year, simply because it comes down to the offense being able to kind of carry the defense early in the season. And I don't necessarily think that Georgia's going to be facing any elite defenses early on that can kind of hold the offense down. I know it's kind of tough to put up points in Columbia. Georgia hasn't really done that in a pretty long time out there. So I think that may be a little bit of an issue. But overall, I do think the offense is going to have to carry this team early on, especially when you consider what Georgia's dealing with in the defensive backfield and the defensive line. That's not even to mention linebacker, where Georgia's losses may have been greater than anything else.
All right, these rules, there's a couple of rule tweaks. What do you think of the kickoff situation where you can fair catch now inside the 25 and the ball's going to come to the 25? And the other run, what we've been talking about was the, what was it, the no blocking below the waist past the 5-yard, am I saying that right, past 5 yards from the line of scrimmage?
Yeah. I think that one's going to be a little bit more of an effective rule, especially if they're calling it consistently, because I think that's something that, if the referees are honing in on it, you're going to see some 15-yard penalties. You're going to see some of these teams who like to work up to the second level, some of these teams that like to use a fullback or an H-back to get up on a linebacker and stuff. I think that's going to probably be have a little bit more of an effect. I'm kind of in wait-and-see mode on the fair catch thing, simply because, and Kirby Smart talked about this the other day, and it was something that I had talked about, I think, earlier in the day, was, I mean, when these guys are – you want your guys watching the football. You want their heads up watching the football, and you've got an internal clock that you've kind of got to train them with. But I don't think too often you're going to have guys fair catch the ball inside the 25. Most of the balls that get fair caught are not that deep, And so I think more than anything, you're going to see – I mean, you guys tell me, when you see Georgia kick the ball off and it comes down at the 10, hang time or not, you kind of get a little bit worried. You're like, oh, man, this could set up for a return. Whereas, most teams are trying to kick it out of the back of the end zone, and Georgia did a good job of that last year. So I don't know how much that rule is going to affect teams. Maybe if you're a team that's really, really struggling on kickoff return, like like Georgia did a couple years ago, and we're just not blocking it up real well, we're not scheming it up real well, and maybe it becomes then your philosophy that, hey, if they kick it inside, if they kick it inside the 15, fair catch it, and we'll just bring it out to the 25. But other than that, I have a hard time thinking that it's going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, Jake, one thing I wanted to ask you about kind of G-Day and what we'll see going from G-Day into the fall is, when you look at, last year, I think Georgia's defense was really the leader, the catalyst for the great start to the season, while the offense kind of was catching up with Jake Fromm being there. Now it kind of seems like the offense is going to be the veterans. They might need to be the ones that pace the team before kind of the defense and some of the newer players that are gonna step in for some of these big time players that left, give them a little more time to get comfortable and playing more minutes and having more responsibility. Is that kind of how you see Georgia doing, and will we see a little bit of that maybe even on G-Day? Maybe the defense might struggle a little more?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's pretty strong. I mean, pretty strong possibility, to be honest with you. I don't really, you know, it's hard to see it any other way. And I think we expected that from the defense last year just the same. I mean, when all of those guys decided to come back and, you know, Georgia was coming off a 2016 season where the offensive line had some issues and, you know, Jacob Eason was still a little bit, unproven. You didn't really know. You know, his ability to throw the ball downfield was really questionable. You didn't know what you had at wide receiver, especially with your top receiver, Isaiah McKenzie, you know, leaving the fold. And I think now there's more veteran leadership on offense. There are more returning starts on offense. The offensive line is, you know, returning 4 out of 5 of a unit that led them to the college football playoff, although the best player out of that group is gone. I think it's just pretty, you know, I don't want to say obvious, But I think it's just kind of an easy call. I really do. And maybe it surprises us. Maybe you see one thing in the spring, and then you see another thing, you know, after preseason camp. You get a lot of this, you know, these Tyson Campbells and Adam Andersons, Otis Reese types to come in, and Georgia's defense starts to change its look a little bit. But right now, I just think that expecting the offense to be ahead is almost a foregone conclusion.
Jake, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. We'll catch you again next week.
All right, fellas, take it easy.
Jake Rowe, Dogs 247 and 247sports.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.